I can't do that. I've never been there. I've never done that. You know what? I don't know. There's a lot of other people in the school that could, but he could. That's a remarkable thing. Every one of us has a specific set of gifts and experiences and other things that have prepared us for just such a time as this, as it says in the book of Esther. Now, we've been going through a series of questions in December. First question I have is, why do they fill these things so darn full? I don't know. Anyway, there. Now you know I can take a shower. First question we had, though, is how can a baby born 2,000 years ago possibly change my life? And the short answer was that this particular baby not only changed our lives, but it changed the course of history. It changed the way we relate to the calendar. The next week we asked, isn't the Christmas story just a fairy tale? Now you might say, I would never ask that question. I agree with you. But you've got friends and relatives and coworkers and students that you are in school with, if that's where you're at. And they are asking these questions. So going through the questions is not just a moot thing of, well, it gives us something to talk about. But maybe, just maybe, it helps you to know how to talk to other people. This is really important because God has prepared you to talk to certain people that other people can't talk to. It's really important. So this question, isn't the Christmas story just a fairy tale? The answer is, of course, that the story of Christmas isn't just a, hey, here's an idea I just had type of thing. But it was written down and published hundreds of years before the events. And the record foretells what the future would be. Those two things speak to the truthfulness of the story. And so last week we looked at another question. Why did he choose to come so quietly? And we think maybe a big band or something, maybe a whole, a sky full of angels around the entire world, everybody would know him to know. And so to answer it, we looked at through three lenses this question, three lenses. First one is, what is better about quiet over a big deal? And then, who was the announcement made to, and what does that mean for you and me? And finally, the third lens, what impact did the announcement make on the recipients and his mother? And each one of those lenses revealed something more about why God chose to make his quiet announcement. It's not going, huh? Well, tell you what. Okay. This reminds me an awful lot of a time in school, or not in school, but another church where I was going to preach and use a video basically from It's a Wonderful Life. And just like this, the machinery didn't work. So I got to quote it and basically play it. I'm not going to do that for you. The question that we're looking at today is, what do I really need to know about Christmas? It's a pretty simple question. It's pretty easy. Now this week, and this question is the last one of the questions we have, what do I really need to know about Christmas? There's four things about Christmas. God always keeps his promises. God always keeps his promises. Number two, Christmas is an answer to your need. Christmas is an answer to your need. It's not a merchandising trick. You might be fooled at first glance, right? Number three, God answered your need with a baby. He gave baby. A little odd. Number four, God so loved you that he gave the very first Christmas present. And so I want to look at these things. I want to examine these four things. It's not going to take a long time doing it. God always keeps his promises. I don't know if you know this. The very first promise about a coming Messiah's star in Israel, which you know the Christmas story, the star is kind of an important part of it. And if you ask little kids, they all say, yeah, it looks like a plus sign. That's because they represent the star with the little beams on it, you know. And that's kind of cute. But the very first promise about a coming Messiah's star in Israel was given way, way, way back in a really weird thing. You think sometimes you feel uncomfortable and not really cut out for whatever God has for you? This guy's he's a knucklehead. He's a prophet named Balaam. Now, he's no relation to our current sheriff, in case you're wondering. Spelled totally different. This guy, Balaam, and this is found in Numbers 24:17, just in the first part of the verse. We won't get into the whole thing. I see him, but not now. Now, I say he's kind of a knucklehead. You know why? Because he's being paid by a guy named Balak to come and curse Israel. And no matter what happens, he can't seem to do it. But this prophecy is different than the first two that happened. Because the first two, he's using divination. He's doing funny things. And even in the middle of that, he's still saying what God wants him to say. I would say in spite of that. This time, he doesn't do the divination at all. And this is what he says. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, which is another name for Israel. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. A scepter. See, it's the first time in the Bible that a prophecy is given about a star of any kind. And it's about a star connected to a scepter. And that's the sign of royalty. So you start seeing this thing, huh, where have I heard that before? And we think about what the wise men were coming because they saw his star in the east. Now, they didn't happen to mention whether it looked like a plus sign or not. We don't know. And kids think. But they came because they had seen his star in the east. And maybe it's because maybe they didn't overreact. Maybe they thought the star was just an ordinary star, but was in fact the very star that was prophesied. It wasn't just a typical old regular star. It was a very special one. Now, when you make the connection between what Balaam said and what God gave him to say, you can see that God always keeps his promises. Even if it goes back thousands of years, he still keeps his promises. And for you, even if it takes many years, he still fulfills his promises. We have a lot of us lose hope really quick and really easy. And we think we have a really good reason to do that because things haven't worked out as well as we thought, or we've been disappointed, or we've disappointed somewhere else. And the plain fact of the matter is this, that God always keeps his promises, even when that promise concerns you. He always keeps his promises. And in this particular promise, it's a really important one. Number two, Christmas is an answer to your need. It's not a merchandising trick. We know that the promise of God was tied to the words, these words, the people in darkness have a great light. The people in darkness have seen a great light. We're all people in darkness. We all strain our eyes to see his great light. Now, of course, this idiom of darkness and light is a picture of us being lost and alone. You kind of get that? And then being in his loving arms, restored and safe, like being in great light. It always reminds me of those stories about people who are lost in the wilderness somewhere, and the sun goes down, and doesn't matter that there's stars, might be a moon, and invariably, it's dark, and they're scared, and it's cold, and it's hard. And then they get saved from that situation. What's the very first thing that happens? They put them in a, we usually call it an ambulance. It might be an EM. What would you call that? What is that? I mean, we used to call it an ambulance where the EMTs work. Still an ambulance?
Still an ambulance.
Okay, good. Glad to hear that. I hate being outmoded over time. I really hate that. So the ambulances today, though, they're really cool. You can actually stand up in them. When I was a kid, they'd throw you in there laying down and, you know, I don't know how they took care of you. Must have had midgets. I don't know. So you go in there, and it's filled with light. And you get to a hospital, and they just want to check you out. Hopefully you're okay. And what is it? It's not dark. There's lots and lots and lots of light. And we know that if we're lost, and we're lost in darkness, and we need to be in his loving arms, and we're safe. You know, when you go home, your house isn't dark either. Not that way. And if it is, somebody pretty soon turns on a light. You know why? Because home and light go together. because we know each other. And that's where we can share love, and we're accepted there. Our great need is to have the Lord's love and his mercy toward us. The Lord's love and mercy is your light. No matter how dark your understanding may be. That's a really important point, because sometimes we feel like it's a little on the dark side. I don't mean the dark side of the force, Luke. I mean, just it's kind of dark for us. And then we have this other thing that's kind of weird in that we have to endure the store's continuous drivel of songs. Have you noticed that you can take a perfectly good Christmas carol, and by the time you've heard it from July, you're really tired of it? Have you noticed that? Specials. I get so tired of Christmas specials because it doesn't, sometimes not even one of my traditions. It's like, I don't even care about that. You'd be really surprised, some of my traditions. And then season's greetings. And we have people on both sides of a question about whether that is really a Christmas greeting or not. We won't even talk about Die Hard and the people who think that's a Christmas movie and the ones that don't. We're not talking about any of that stuff. We have to endure all of this stuff. And finally we get through Christmas and we go, glad that's over. We forget what it was like to be in the dark and that God sent a great light for us, that we might be home with him. The third thing, God answered your need with a baby. Now, I had 5 kids, and I can't honestly say that they answered any of my needs except to be a daddy. But their way of doing it was quite loud and oftentimes quite inconvenient. If I'm in any kind of trouble, be somewhere, any kind of trouble, my first thought is not, boy, I hope I find a baby somewhere. I mean, really, is that what you do? No, it's not. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him might not perish but have everlasting life. That was the verse that Lori talked about earlier. And it's really amazing because we want to slice and dice this thing. Do you notice that there's nothing in there about how you behave or what you do? Because for some of you, the idea is that you're not perfect enough. And you know, God never called you to be perfect without Christ. He never called for you to do that. Well, he can't use me unless I do such and such and so and so. Really? I've looked in the book a lot. I haven't seen that one. Maybe you found it. But really, God so loved the world. An awful lot of stuff in the world is pretty stinky. World of weird, and as they say in England, a rum old world out there. Now, if God had sent us and given us a fully armed soldier with every conceivable type of weapon, it wouldn't have been enough to win our battle. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We didn't get that off the wallpaper, folks. We got that by example. The baby Son of God was more than enough to deliver us from our deadly wound, our mortal fight. This is a life and death thing. We enter into the promise of God, his deliverance, because God fought the real battle and he won by a baby who grew up into the one who went to the cross for us. It came as a baby. Number 4, God so loved you that he gave the very first Christmas present. We oftentimes get wrapped up in the giving of gifts. And it's cool. I mean, anybody here really doesn't like getting something that really fits or is really what you want? I mean, we've all gotten those other kind of gifts. I won't go into a list of those. Every once in a while, you'll get something. Just one. You ever get a fruitcake? I won't ask how many of you like. Most people don't like fruitcake. I would posit the question, why in the world do we give fruitcakes? You'd think it would mean the opposite. I love you. Here's a fruitcake. What are you saying to me? God gave the very first Christmas present. All of our gift giving is just in commemoration of what God did. And the most astonishing thing of all is that God gave us the very first present to you and me. That's the most astonishing thing ever. He wasn't stingy, he wasn't self-serving, and he didn't re-gift. Which is exactly what's going to happen to the fruitcake if I get one. Instead, he gave his present. There's a little view that you might receive his riches at Christ's expense. Now, there's a little acronym. God's riches at Christ's expense. Spells grace. And God's riches at Christ's expense can be thought of in terms of that as an acronym form of grace. We really need God's grace in our time of need. And then I think sometimes about what we consider to be our time of need. And we usually think in terms of like being lost in the wilderness or something like that. That's not the need it's talking about. That is a need, no doubt about it. Having his grace there, absolutely. You need it every day. All of us do. Nobody grows enough in Christ to grow apart from his grace. We're not that good. We need his grace all the time. And when we realize how very much we actually need his help, we start asking him for that grace. We start entering into and we start living in a state of perpetual grace. And some of you are thinking, that's a bad doctrine. I'm not talking doctrine. I'm talking about a stark reality. Because if we talk about Jesus Christ as if he showed up once as a baby and then they killed him and he went home and there you go. That's not the truth. That's not the truth. The Bible I read says that if Jesus Christ isn't raised from the dead, then we of all people are most to be pitied. Okay. And then it stops? Well, that's a peculiar thing, isn't it? Why would it stop? Why would God stop? Because he's the one that said that he so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, it's all a continuum. It's all connected. See, the truth is that God always keeps his promises. And Christmas is an answer to your need. It's not a merchandising trick. And God answered your need with a baby, a very special baby. And God so loved you that he gave the very first Christmas present. And that's what you need to know about Christmas. Now we get to live like those things are true. And they are. Watch this.
If we're to believe the original miracle of Christmas, the whole world got a gift that was audacious and enormous and undeserved. And if those kinds of shenanigans are on the table, maybe I can also ask for ridiculous, audacious things. Like joy. For my family. For my friends. For my neighbors. Maybe I'm allowed to ask for peace. For the person who doesn't fit in. Or sings out of tune. Or has had the hardest year of his life. And I want more hope. I want to be the hands and feet of hope to others. No matter what they believe. No matter what they've done. cool Christmas gifts this year.
For each one of us, we could have a lot of problems with what we just saw, couldn't we? We could have a lot of problems with a guy who spent time in jail, prison. We could have a lot of trouble with three people who maybe don't look like us, walking down a dirt road, no place to go. And somehow God puts them together. I want to encourage you to something today. I want to encourage you to seeking God for what he has for you, no matter how hard it gets. No matter what else you've got planned, no matter how it seems to be disruptive to your organizational abilities and what your plans were, what you're expecting. Sometimes the very best that God gives is not what you expect. It's very weird. It's very true. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we give ourselves to you this day that we might recognize your gift and that we are not our own. We're bought with a price. That you have come to us and given us your grace, not that we might just hold on to it, but that we might give it to others as ambassadors of reconciliation with God. That, Lord, you've called us with a purpose that is higher than anything we could ever imagine. It's not to being official. It's to being yours and walking it out and living it out as if we really believe that. Today, Lord, live your life through each one of us. Let us see every opportunity as one that comes from your hand. May we see, Lord, the very real opportunity that exists to share your love with other people. And may we not draw back from that. May we know the purpose for which you've called us. May we know what your message is. May we know what we really have to know about Christmas is really what we have to know about Jesus Christ. And may we live as if we believe it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's one other thing, I guess. It's kind of funny. My wife, Lori, is a wonderful person, and I'm a very sensitive husband. I don't always get it right, but I'm very sensitive. Sometimes I've heard words like, we need to talk. Those are very, very discouraging words. Now, the fortunate thing for me was she wanted to talk about the placement of the refrigerator, so I was okay. But at first I'm thinking, are you like tired of me or what? You know, what is this? So she spoke to me on Saturday, or on Friday night, said, I have a Lori Leanhard dilemma. I'm like, I don't know, but that doesn't sound too good to me. It might not bother you, but it bothered me a lot. And I said, what's the problem? She says, well, I'd really like to give something to everyone in the church. Now, I don't know about you. There's quite a few of you. You outnumber us quite a bit. But we actually have something for every one of you. And if you have already received it, God bless you. And that's fine. If you haven't, we actually have some more left here. And we'd like to catch up with you. So if you don't mind, don't just split out the door before we have a chance to get one of these in your hands, okay? Prayer teams, if you guys would come up, like you guys would be available for prayer. If you need prayer today, you may be in the middle of one of the hardest times of your life. You may be in one of the easiest. You may recognize, though, that you need to have someone just pray with you or pray for you. That's okay. That's what this is about. It's not for reporting purposes. They don't tell me, and they don't tell anybody else what you've prayed about or anything like that. So it's very confidential and very, very cool. If you're ready to go, and this is the Sunday before Christmas, so if you don't have anything to do, you guys come over to my house and we'll give you something to do. There's plenty to accomplish. But if you would stand, I'm going to dismiss you to your Christmas. If you need prayer, please come up for prayer. If you haven't received a gift from Lori and I, don't run off. Let us find you. And we have something for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. And may you live as one who truly loves and has received the baby that Jesus gave in his life to you. And that he grew up. And you have eternal life and grace because of it. Thank God. You're dismissed. Be sure to be here Tuesday evening, very short time for our Christmas Eve candle lighting service. Love to have you there. God bless you. You're dismissed.